Is The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Here's part two of my NBA draft interview with former ESPN insider and NBA draft expert. Getting to Jalen Green, the other guy that is often discussed at number two with the Houston Rockets. You've written a couple of times, and most notably in your latest mock draft, Mock 3.0, where you had Evan Mobley going to the Rockets. You had Jalen Green going third. But you talked about Jalen Green being the choice for the kind of the old school scouts for the Rockets, and then the analytics-driven analysts are looking more at Evan Mobley. I want to talk about Green and what he brings to the table. Obviously an extremely explosive athlete, five-star recruit coming out, one of the top players in the entire nation. Spent a year playing or spent this last year playing some G League basketball. So, you know, I reached out to an NBA executive and asked what was more competitive, high-end college basketball or the G League. And his opinion was G League basketball would be a little bit more, you know, dependent obviously on the matchups, but in general G League would be a higher level of basketball. What do the insiders that you talk to say about Jalen Green's personal maturity, his basketball maturity, and the upside that they see in him, and maybe even a player comp that you've heard?
Well, look, he projects as the best scorer in this draft. He is an effortless, instinctual scorer with the basketball. He can score any way. He can take his guy off the dribble. He can finish at the rim with explosive athleticism. I think his jump shot, which was a little bit of a question in high school, looked pretty good in the G League. I think he'll continue to develop. He can do step backs. He can shoot off the bounce. He can shoot with his feet set. He's going to score 20 points a night in the NBA, and he might end up being a 25 to 30 point a night scorer if he really, really hits his stride in the NBA. And so, you know, look, one of the things that's sexy about Green is the first thing we think about when we're thinking about, oh, who's going to be a star, who leads the league in scoring. And there's a chance that Jalen Green has enough talent that at some point in his career, he might end up leading the league in scoring. And that's really intriguing. And especially when you put that, again, high level 99 percentile athleticism, explosive laterally, explosive vertically as well. Wow, he's really intriguing. The question about, and the other thing I'll say about him is I've talked to Brian Shaw, I've talked to people around the G League and what have you. They love his mentality. They love his approach to the game. They think he's very, very dedicated to being great. He studies film. He's very aggressive. He's a very confident young man. He puts in the work. They love him on that G League team. And you know, Brian Shaw talked about an it factor with him that he's seen with just this handful of other NBA prospects, that there's just something about him that screams star. And so one of the things that Rockets, and I'm not saying they'll take this into consideration, but when you're trying to rebuild your franchise right now and you're trying to build it around someone, he's a sexy prospect, right? Like, he's a guy who sells sneakers. He's a guy who gets on commercials. He's a guy who's going to be in highlight films. One of the things about Evan Mobley, you don't see it as much, and I was joking with somebody the other day, you know, Evan Mobley, one of the great things about watching Evan Mobley's tape is he rarely makes mistakes. He almost always makes the right play, but it's hard to put a highlight film together of a guy who just always makes the right play, does the right thing. Where Jalen Green will make a lot more mistakes, but when he does something, it's often spectacular what he does. The question for him will be, what else is he going to bring? And that's the difference between his, you know, where he could be in his ceiling, right? If he becomes a lockdown defender, he should maybe be the number one pick in the draft, but he's not that yet. In fact, I don't think he's a very good defender right now. If he can become a secondary ball handler, which NBA teams increasingly like their guards to be able to play both on and off the ball, if he could become that, then he becomes even more intriguing to me. But he's not that yet. He is right now a one-dimensional player in that he can put the ball in the basket. And so you can see the dilemma for the Rockets. Like, I'm very confident Jalen Green is going to be a huge scorer, but if that's all he is, and he doesn't develop those other parts of his game. I'm not saying he won't, but he didn't show it in the G League, and he didn't really show it in high school. Do you pass on a 7-footer who has who checks 7, maybe 8 boxes for a 6'4" super athletic guard who really checks 2? One crazy athlete, 2 really can score the basketball. And that's a legitimate question that the Rockets are going to have to ask themselves. And why I believe at the end of the day, it's more likely going to be Mobley than Green. And I think that all of the Green smoke that is coming out of Houston right now has more to do with the fact that they know Detroit really likes him. And they know that Detroit is out there considering, you know, what if we move back 1 spot? What if we move back 2 spots in the draft? If the Pistons are thinking about moving down to Cleveland at 3, but they want Jalen Green, the Rockets have just sent the signal he's not going to be there on the board, so you have to deal with us. And I do think Houston, at the end of the day, if they had a chance to be able to get Cade Cunningham, move up a spot in the draft, I think they'd do it.
Well, let's get into the dessert here then, and that's what I wanted to save this for, is Cade Cunningham. So a lot of the talk that you've had recently and a lot we've seen from national basketball writers has been the Rockets' desire to land Cade Cunningham, or to at least approach the idea of grabbing Cade Cunningham. Let's talk about Cade, and what are you hearing in terms of the Rockets' willingness and potential ability to make that jump from 2-1?
Well, he's been the guy for most NBA teams. There's some analytics guys that aren't as in love with Cade as others, but I mean, he's basically been the guy. And you're talking about, he plays the most valuable position in the NBA. He shot it at 40% from 3, which is really, really intriguing for a player his size. He clearly has that it factor in that he is calm, collected, but he can become a killer when he needs to at the end of the games. Cade Cunningham can take over a basketball game. He has the handle to be able to do that. And, you know, at worst, he's a secondary ball handler. At best, he might be a jumbo, you know, point guard. He's got the highest floor of any prospect in this draft. It's hard to think of scenarios where Cade Cunningham isn't a good NBA player, that like his floor is like Chris Middleton, who just did a number on the Phoenix Suns, you know, in the playoffs last night. I mean, that's his floor. He probably doesn't have the exact same ceiling as those guys because he's not an elite athlete. The turnovers are an issue, and he wasn't actually that great of a shooter in high school. So there's some people that wonder a little bit whether, you know, when you look at his free throw rate and some other things, whether maybe that was a little bit of an aberration, but he's going to be really good. And so I think for the Rockets, the question is, to move up 1 spot is going to cost them probably more than they have right now with I think they have the 23rd and 24th pick in the draft, right? That's probably not going to be enough to move up a spot. They're going to have to go out and get another pick or, you know, put someone else on the table that they may not want to put on the table as an enticing offer to get there. That's why I think the talk that's been out there reported about them talking to Indiana to get the 13th pick in the draft and maybe having Eric Gordon be part of a deal there. That, to me, is a signal that the Rockets are trying to figure out how to get up to that spot. 2-13, if I'm Detroit, I take that deal.
I'm not saying
if it's there.
I'm not saying that they're the same players, but do you think the Rockets could be looking at Cade? And if they clearly see Cade as the number one player in the draft, why not try to get the very best in the draft since you have torn it down to the studs and you're looking for the number one guy to build around, as you mentioned? But is there a chance the Rockets see another type of James Harden in terms of, you talked about the jumbo one, but what we're talking about is a lead guard with the potential to score inside mid, and he's got mid-range game too, and then from deep, and then the ability to set people up. I know the assist numbers were a little under 4, but do you see you think Rafael Stone and the Rockets maybe see, hey, we can get back to the type of ball that we've been used to for years and years if we get this type of lead guard scorer?
Yeah, exactly. And that's the argument for Cade Cunningham at 1. The preferred way that most NBA teams like to play, you need a player like Cade Cunningham, and they're very rare to find. Very hard to find people with that sort of combination of skill set. And, you know, look, Cade's bigger than James Harden. You know, Cade's 6'7", 6'8", with a 7-foot wingspan. I mean, that's a big difference, you know, on the court. And, you know, whether his ceiling is Jason Tatum or, you know, maybe it's, you know, Ben Simmons with a jump shot. I mean, there's lots of different, you know, comps that I've sort of heard out there. But having guys who can defend multiple positions and play multiple positions on offense and be that sort of jumbo guard that can be a ball handler, can shoot the basketball, absolutely that's what the Rockets are thinking. That's why Cade is one. It's not that he has the highest ceiling of anybody in this draft, but he plays the most important position that most NBA teams see, and those guys just don't come along very often. They're hard to get. They're hard to get in free agency. They're hard to get anywhere else in the NBA. So here's a guy sitting there at number one on the board. If you want to build your franchise around a player like that, and that is currently what most teams covet, yeah, maybe you make the deal.
Just real quick.
And,
go ahead. Yeah. Go ahead.
No, I think that you make that deal if you're Houston, if you're convinced that's the way that we want to play and that's our guy to build around. I think you do whatever you can to get up one spot. And I think for Detroit, the interesting thing is, you know, they have some really highly versatile players that are really heady and can, you know, stretch the floor and everything else, but they don't have athletes. And and Detroit is going to need some athletes at some point, and that might be what persuades them to do a Jalen Green or an Evan Mobley.
Last question for you. I thought the timing of this, of the hiring of Chris Wallace, who's a former NBA general manager, obviously, has experience with the Celtics, has experience with the grit and grind Grizzlies, and putting some of that team together. Do you think that that signing was made, or do you think that signing could have any potential bearing on how the Rockets are going to approach their early draft pick? Because he does have experience doing that. Rafael Stone does not have experience taking a player inside the top three, the top five. Hell, we knew Daryl Morey basically avoided the draft by all means necessary in most cases. Do you think Chris Wallace helps? Is that an overstatement, or does he help in terms of the process of going through who you're going to take at number two, or even the potential idea of moving up to one, considering his background?
Yeah, look, I've known Chris for a really, really long time. He is absolutely one of the most experienced traditional scouts in the draft. And like all those scouts, he's had some really great hits, and he's had some very significant misses. And one of the reasons that I think Daryl Morey ran away from the draft was in part because there's just no good analytics or traditional scouting model that can actually nail these players, that the information is just too, the data is just too noisy, I think, for Daryl Morey. And, you know, instead, you know, trying to see a guy in the league for a couple of years, like you've got a lot more information. It's a lot easier to sort of project out. And so you balance an analytics bent that's in the Houston front office with a guy who has a lot of experience with traditional scouting. I really like Chris. I think it was a wise move. You know, they had B.J. Johnson there before he tragically died. Right. And, you know, B.J. to me was the single best in the entire NBA traditional basketball scout. I thought he had the best eye for talent of anybody. He was a guy I relied on heavily when I was putting stuff together over years. I just thought the track record over years is he was that good. That's a huge loss for Houston. And so to bring in someone experienced like Chris to just balance that out with obviously a very strong analytics-based front office that they have, I think was a really good move because, frankly, it requires both. Analytics tell you really important things, but they can't tell you everything. And traditional scouting tells you really important things, but it doesn't tell you everything.
That's Chad Ford, longtime NBA draft expert and analyst. Fantastic stuff. Really great stuff. You can find him on Twitter at Chad Ford Insider. And then, Chad, you want to tell people how they can get a hold of you with a Substack subscription?
Yeah, come over to NBABigBoard.com. You can put in your email. You can do a free sub, and you know, you'll get some free stuff from me, free emails, you know, previews of certain things. But if you want to dive into the mock drafts and big boards and things like that, come get a subscription. You can do a monthly one for $8 a month, or you can do a yearly one for $50 a month, which is a great savings. And we'll have great stuff all the way through the draft. You can get on my Zoom calls with me, and you know, we'll get right into the 2022 draft the day after the 2021 NBA draft is over.
That was Chad Ford, and if you missed any of that interview, or you want to push people towards the interview, who like I just got a direct message that a big Evan Mobley guy, and he wants to send this to his son so they hear Chad Ford's reasoning why Evan Mobley should be the number two pick. We will have that available on our podcast. You can go to ESPN 97.5.com and you can go to our podcast area and you can listen to it there. So make sure you pass that around because very good information from Chad Ford. When we come back, Dell and I will get into Astros are back in action today. And Dell also, I found out, is a junkie. David Culley's not the only junkie in this city. I found out we've got a new junkie here, and I'll tell you why Dell's such a junkie. 8:35.
All lies.
On the bench.
Well, hello.
To call into the HRNP listener line, dial 713-780-ESPN.
Dial the phone.
Disappointed by your HR and payroll technology? Maybe you need to outsource your administration. Go to HRP.net to learn more.